Vanity Project. This is the podcast where we listen to the best, the worst, and sometimes just the weirdest albums released by celebrities who are not famous for being musicians. My name is Bridie. I'm a comedian, I'm a writer, and currently a germy sicko in isolation. And I'm also joined by another germy sicko, remotely, of course, James Colley.
Hello, it's very nice to be here as a germy sicko. I hope this isn't contagious to whoever is listening to it. We also have joining me today in the background of this recording is Grace doing her first podcast. So she might pipe up every so often with her thoughts on the album.
Huge shout out to baby Grace, who hopefully is a fan of the album we're listening to today. I'm excited. We've got quite a tasty treat for everybody to put in their ears today. But before we get to talking about this week's album, just a quick shout out to the few people who have messaged us about last week's episode where we reviewed Hugh Laurie's album, Let Them Talk. Seems he's got quite a lot of fans amongst our listeners. We had a lot of messages backing up his talent as a live artist and lots of recommendations to go and see him live should we ever get the opportunity, James. So that's good to know.
I was actually panicked for a second there because I thought you were going to say a whole bunch of house fans who were ready to rake me over the coals for the wonderful careers of all the actors from House whose names I know and have looked up.
You know what? Out of all of the episodes that we've done so far, out of all of the Vanity albums, the Dr. House stands are the ones that I would fear. bottom of the list. There are other musicians that we've frankly rubbished that I was terrified that their fans would come out of the woodwork for us. Mostly Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal heads, yeah, absolutely.
James, you've brought this album to the table this week, and I can just tell from the look in your eyes that you are very excited about it. Do you want to tell us who we're listening to today?
This is Shaquille O'Neal's Shaq Diesel. Now, this is an infamous album. I love Shaq. I'm a huge Shaq fan. The things that I'm just thinking, what's the best way to get into the introduction of Shaq? The most dominant basketball player ever, an incredible Hall of Fame legend, really lovely dude too. Like, by all accounts, everything about Shaq's public and personal persona is business choices and doing things like, while it's a major basketball thing to have a signature shoe, Shaq made sure his signature shoe was very cheap and sold at Walmart so that people, like families, could buy them for their kids because he grew up very poor and he couldn't buy the shoes that were all fancy and nice. So he wanted kids to be able to buy what looked like real basketball shoes with a real basketball player's name on them and are cheap and good for families.
Like, I love that. That's so nice.
He is so lovely. He is such a huge, I'm such a huge fan of his, and this album sucks damn ass, and it's so very bad. So I just want to front load this with, I love Shaq so much. He is one of my favorite celebrities in the world. I am going to have very little nice to say about him after this recording starts.
It's funny that this is how you've started your introduction of Shaq here, because all this time I thought that being nice was the determining factor in whether or not you'd have a successful hip-hop career. I thought that was kind of the whole brand was if you were the boy next door. But yes, that's right. We're talking about the 1993 release Shaq Diesel. It's a rap album. He was just in his early 20s at the time this was released. I found... Look, James, it's on the internet, so it must be true, but I've only found it in one place and can't back it up with any other sources. But I saw a little tidbit in an interview that said that he was so charming in post-game interviews and all of that stuff that he'd obviously developed a legion of fans, as you are among them. But in one particular post-game interview, he just did some cheeky freestyling and the very next day was offered a record deal. I don't know if that's true. Like I said, I only found it in one place on the World Wide Web. But I kind of love that.
Yeah, there's a good argument that Shaquille O'Neal is the most marketable star ever. And like, if you were to do a count back of numbers, it's probably him or Snoop. Like, it's there's very few people who can compete with them. And Shaq does sell everything. He has been a regular occurrence on Gruen. We talk about his current one of the betting apps, one of the many betting companies. He is helping people lose their money there. But he. This is also, like, the other thing we should say is this is young Shaq. This is, I believe he would be 93. He's probably recording this just off his rookie season at the Orlando Magic.
That's right. Which so I didn't is... know. I had to Google because I don't know anything about basketball.
I will be driving the bulk. We're going to be lucky if we even hear a song in this episode because I mostly want to talk about the mistakes the Orlando Magic made since trading Shaq that made it so that they have barely made it to the playoffs since. In fact, I'm not sure that they have. Anyway.
Oh, my God. Stop talking. We're really going to divide our listenership today. I love it.
Absolutely. The other thing that is great about Shaq coming into this is Shaq takes big swings with his art and he misses just about every time. Like, this is, Kazam is a great example of this as well, where the film, an infamously bad film where Shaq plays a genie, like the, and this album and the other album he does, like there are very few athletes that can, like, really, really great athletes that can act. I would say LeBron is one of them. LeBron can absolutely act. He's actually quite funny as an actor. Space Jam 2 was garbage, but that's not, like, that it wasn't an acting problem there. And also, MJ can't act in Space Jam 1, so I feel like it was, you know, authentic to the piece. Shaq can't act. He can't rap really well. We'll get into that, but there's, like, I appreciate that he doesn't, he takes a punt at these things. He really goes for it, because in the history of basketball there's about two guys who can actually rap. There a lot of them have albums. A
well,
that's lot
funny
of them
you say that, James, because okay, to as I said before, I'm obviously know of Shaquille O'Neal because you'd have to live under a rock to not have heard of Shaq, right? I know who he is, but I don't know much about basketball. And so I didn't particularly think music when I thought Shaq, but I do think of music when I think of basketball. I think of hip hop. There's so much, like, intertwining of hip hop culture and basketball and all of that stuff. And yeah, like, just a very cursory search. There's so many athletes who have released, at oftentimes, ill-advised rap albums. But I am so interested that straight out the gate, before we've even listened to a song with our dear, dear listeners, that you just have no time for it. Because I don't think it's the greatest album of all time, but I was actually pleasantly surprised. I think he is a much better rapper than you are making him out to be.
Interesting. Okay.
I wonder if you love him so much that you are holding him to this crazy standard that you have not held our other artists on Vanity Project to.
That could well be it. That could be, it's, he's let me down, and I wanted this to be the Black Album. Like, anything short of the Black Album was unacceptable.
Well, I think let's get into it. So as I said before, this is released in 1993 through Jive Records. Let's listen to the first track. Here we go. Buckle up.
Music, please. I dribble rhymes like basketballums. People call me 18.
What's that check, man?
Extra tallums. You better than Shaq Tech, fool. Shut up, liar. I lean on a Statue of Liberty when I get tired.
Ooh, I know you got skills. More like, I know you got a synthesizer and no restraint.
Got him.
Got him! What did you make of that track?
Very 90s hip-hop. You're right. I'm now self-conscious that I am being too hard on Shaq because this isn't even the worst rap album we have done. We have listened to much, much worse rap.
Okay, here's what's happening. You're comparing this to the Shaq that you know and love, and I'm comparing this to every other album we've done on this podcast. So that's why I'm having the time of my life.
Also, it's like, do you know what it is? It's the frustration with when you're a Shaq fan, the frustration with Shaq was he could have been the best ever and he didn't want to work that hard. In this, It feels like he's just in the wrong era. Like, this is very, very 90s hip-hop. And of course, it's like, he's at the peak of his powers. Of course, he's going to be doing this now. But I think Shaq suits about a decade later of rap where he could slow down and, like,
I'm
say
so
a few
sorry.
Words.
I know you've talked for, like, 30 seconds, but a little while back you said, when you're a Shaq fan, and because we are very differently wired, James, all that's been playing in my head is when you're a Shaq all the way. Because I love some West Side Story. I don't know what you just said. I have no idea what you just said. I'm so sorry. Just to reiterate as well, I've been in isolation for a week, so my skills socially are not what they normally are.
There are, I would say, like, this is not a bad start. And there's a lot of, like... So he's the reason I think there's a problem with him in this era, like doing the fast rap era. It's 93. Jay-Z is rapping like this.
Yeah.
Like everyone's doing like very, very quick rap. It's that there's like there are times in this album where it feels like you're listening to a Mad Lib. Like you're just going like, what's any word that rhymes with this? And we'll just keep going with that. Like there are some pretty... great lines in these. The people call me E.T. What is it, extra talents? Is that what he's talking about?
Oh, dear. Well, I mean, that line is a nice segue to our next track. Thematically, doesn't stray too far. This next track, after we've just heard I've Got Skills. Now let's hear I'm Outstanding. But when you ask me this one day, who I want to be, like I said, Dr. J, and you said good. Now you gotta go, take the damn ball and slam it through the hole. Mom cracked a smile, daddy gave a frown. I said to myself, I can't let them down. I'm Outstanding,
Shaquille O'Neal. Righty, what do you reckon?
James, I don't mind it at all. I don't mind it at all. And I'm so confused as to why we seem to have swapped on, on this album. I think it's so... Okay, first of all, here's Outstanding, obviously. That's great.
Yes.
I like the beat. There is one of the funniest lyrics ever. I don't think it's intentionally funny. He has this whole little section where he talks about his parents, and that's really mm-hmm. lovely. Mom, you never let go. Mad thanks for raising me right, bro. Just calling your mom, bro. It's just so funny to me. I just love that. But also... The idea of being like, my parents are so amazing and that's why I'm outstanding, not doing a song about like, my parents are so amazing and they're outstanding. It's just very funny to me. I loved the beat. It's way more laid back than that first track we listened to. So I found it easier to kind of get into the groove of this one. So 90s and another possible morning affirmation song. We had Cassius yeah. Clay, I'm the Greatest a few weeks back. Now we've got I'm Outstanding. Play it in the mirror every morning. Your life will change.
It is very much in that ballpark of the Ali album. He mentions Ali in some of these songs as well, comparing himself to him. I think you nailed this. And like, I'm too close to it because I find Shaq loves his parents, but he always tells a story about like his dad like going to his dad with an NBA championship and his dad's reaction being go get another one. This seems to be the motivation between them, like, and he was amazed, like, he's built a hell of a career and whatever, like, it just seems to be that parenting style. That's what I was saying, like, my reaction to this song was mostly through the lens of, like, the parenting side of this.
Spot the new parent. That's so funny. You're just worried about the rap album Grace is going to release in a couple of years.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for raising me right, bro.
That's all I want to hear.
Now, if there's any confusion so far as to what decade we're in, if everything about this album so far hasn't made it abundantly clear that we're in the early 90s, get ready for some funky horn stabs, for an MC Hammer reference, for the most 90s beat ever. Here's our next track, Where You At. Where you
yo, yo, at? I'm over here.
Yo, Shaq, where
White
you
dog,
at?
I'm over here.
Just rip the track.
Who the hell is Shaq Attack? You better read the paper. Treat me like this Marquis. You better catch the vapor. I got mad props, so why would you exploit? Punch you in your face like that kid from Detroit. Really though, you better.
All right, now Honestly, the first couple of tracks are fine, but this is where my thesis starts. This is one of the most annoying hooks I've ever heard on any song. It's so frustrating. It's like listening to someone on a phone call with no reception. Are you there? Okay. Can you hear me?
Oh my God. I could not agree more. This is so frustrating.
Even Grace is screaming at it.
Have you got the lyrics up there at all?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. I think let's do just a quick little dramatic reading of the opening of this song, because it truly is something else.
Can I play Shaquille O'Neal?
You absolutely may. Here we go.
Yes.
Yo, Shaq, where you at?
I'm over here.
Yo, Shaq, where you at?
I'm over here.
Yo, Shaq, where you at?
Fife, I'm over here.
Yo, Shaq, where you at?
Fife. I'm over here.
Yo, Shaq, where you at?
Yo, I'm over here.
Yo, Shaq, where you at?
Fife, dog, I'm over here.
Yo, Shaq, where you at?
I'm over here. Get on the microphone and just rip the track. I like that even he is sick of it at that point.
It goes on for so long. It's a real, dude, what does mine say? Sweet moment.
And they go back to it multiple times. This is just the bit in between the verse. It's also got, like, this album at various points has that very 90s rap thing that you have to justify why everyone's going onto the mic and going off the mic. It's like someone, like, leaving the stage in a bad grace, if you don't mind. It's like someone leaving the stage at a bad play where you have to get this crappy justification out of the way. Like, well, I'll go to the shops and see what's happening there or whatever. There's a lot of that, like, okay, in case you're confused, someone else is about to talk into the mic and it's this person and they're going to tell you also that I'm very good at basketball.
James, for the first time, we have completely lined up on our opinions of this album so far. I do not like this track. What I do like is the title of the next track, which seems like a lie. Let's just recap. So far, we've had two songs called I've Got Skills and I'm Outstanding. And our next song is I Hate to Brag.
I got my second wind out. You better back up. Shaq Attack up. It's gonna act up. Don't make me crack up. Ill skills I bring it. Alarm already ringed it. I dong, the dong, the dong. Now watch me ding it. I kick rhymes like a real rapper should. I hate to brag. Damn, I'm good.
Amazing. So there are a few things I love in this. Firstly, this is the start of what is a rich history of hip-hop trying to do a Scarface voice and not coming within 20 yards of it. It's, again, a great inspiration for Jay-Z, who tries to do a Scarface voice for one of his albums and also doesn't come within 100Ks of it. Again, very, very Mad Libs lyrics, but I don't mind opening with, once again, it's time to get braggadocious. The tall human being, that's right, Shaqatocious. and then this is what I mean. Like, if he had, like, 8 lines to say, I reckon he would be fine. It's that. There's so much writing that has to go into this that we get things like, check out my lyrical slam slam, watch me flim flam flam, my refractor click clacks, I biggity bish the bam bam. Like, I get it. It's the time, it's the era, it's not his fault. It's also just annoying to listen to.
Ain't nobody ever seen Dr. Seuss and Shaq in the same room, right? it just also annoyed me that straight after having that track, where you're at, where it's like literally, where are you? I'm over here. This track opens with, hello? Hello?
Yes.
There's just an issue here with signal. That's what's happening.
And there's a lot of like one track bleeding into the next in this album, which is very strange for me. It's like an artistic choice, as if we're in a concept album vision that you need to understand is going on here. It's just like, oh no, this isn't a selection of songs. This is a piece.
Look, I know you've just had some thoughts about some of his rhymes. But what I do think is interesting is that he wrote so much of this album, which is in stark contrast to some of the albums we've covered on this podcast before, which have very little to do with the recording artist in question. So, look, he may not be the best writer of all time. There are some lyrics later on, though, that I really do enjoy. But I think it's amazing that in addition to having a global sports career, he found the time to write a whole rap album. The first
he wasn't
of
practicing.
Many.
He was not working out. He wasn't practicing. He was Shaq.
All right, let's move on to the next track. Let me in, let me in.
To wear my Shaq Attack pumps on the screen up. I'm not giving you half like Donald Trump. Cause your name ain't Ivana. Papa don't preach now as Madonna. Or do you really, really wanna? You start something, something, something. How can I eat the pain like Lisa something? You wanna be with me? Be where I've been. Not by the hairs on my chinny chin chin. Not by the hairs on my chinny chin chin.
It's... You have to take this to start off with, Brady.
It's just the weirdest. Like, a crossover with Three Little Pigs. Well, let's ask Grace. Grace is currently sitting on your knee. Grace, you're the target market for fairy tales. Did you enjoy that?
Did you like it, Grace?
Grace can't even make eye contact with us right now. She did not care for that track, and nor did I. I especially didn't care for this lyric. I'm not dissing all women, just some. The ones that act dumb. Diddly, diddly, dumb, dumb. To be fair, I do hate those women that act diddly, dumb, dumb, dumb.
It is so. It's not by the hairs of my chinny chin chin. It's so weird. It's such a weird choice. Here's the thing. Shaq's funny. Shaq's always been funny. But he also is not beyond a weird choice. I do like you say, like... Musically, like, this is very of its time, but he is a good DJ. He has, now he's still, like, he does festival shows every so often. And look, a lot of it is you show up because Shaq is DJing and you want to see that, but he's good. There are bits of this, like, I don't think the musicality is that bad. I think the rhymes are in a lot of cases, and I just think it doesn't suit the Shaq I dream about.
I completely understand that. I feel like that would be hard to reconcile those two things.
I keep worrying that, like, he's going to listen to this and be hurt by what I'm saying. This is my version of being worried about Seagal fans. I'm worried about hurting Shaq's feelings.
Yeah, and you know, like, I think the odds are high that he would listen to this. He tends to love homegrown Aussie Kiwi comedy, so that's one thing I know for sure. Hi, Shaq, if you're listening. We've got a few more tracks. Let's whip through them so we can get into some other interesting tidbits that we've uncovered for this. The next one, now, I told you I don't know anything about basketball, but I reckon the next track might educate me on some key basketball terms. This is Shoot, Pass, Slam.
This is about hockey, Brody.
Oh, dear.
Pass the ball or the mic, whatever suits ya. Give it away now before I boot ya. Shaq Attack laying low key, so don't knock me or try to stop me. I got skills like Mr. Miyagi. I wax on and stay on, so back up. I roll with the dog mouth.
The Shaq Testa.
I'm a rookie. Clint Eastwood, Martin Sheen. Ah! Leave me alone, I'm turning green.
Shoot, Pass, Slam. Maybe his best rapping on the album. Also, I actually don't. There's the bit of this I really enjoy, which is that when, like, he's your basketball education, Shaq is right. You do not want to see him shoot. You do not want to see him pass. He is not very good at either of those things. And, it's not, like, even in his rookie season, it's nice that he has a song that's like, do you want me to shoot? No. Like, yeah, absolutely. You understand your role. If I was a fan of the Orlando Magic, I would be thrilled. Yeah, exactly.
I was thrilled, though, because it occurred to me that you hear a lot about... I can't even say it because sport's just not in my veins at all. You hear more about slam dunks in rap and in any genre than you do about... most other maneuvers, or any sport, really. Like, I don't think I've heard a lot of songs about shooting or passing the ball. It's all about slam dunks. Grace is nodding. Grace agrees. Great point, Brady. Well made. Thank you so much. We love sport. We simply love it. There's a lot of collaborations on this album. I wanted to talk about that quickly. We've heard a few guests on some tracks so far, and it's going to be this way for the rest of the album, too.
And they do not always, like, usually you would think if you have an amateur rapper, like, let's say, like, someone doing their first album and you bring in the guests, they are going to be better than Shaq, at least. Let's say Shaq is the low bar and they should elevate the songs. they are often much, much worse. They are often more juvenile, really, really tiresome to listen to. There are times where I'm like, can you give it back to Shaq? Can Shaq take the rest of this song, please?
Yeah. Are they bad or is he good and holding his own? Who can say? We can. It's often not great. But there are times when it's great. I just thought we'd take a quick diversion here, though, on the subject of his collabs, because doing a bit of research, again, don't know too much about Basketball and Shaq. This is the first of a few albums that he released, and he continued to work with, like, quite the collection of big hitters, like heavyweights in hip-hop, just producers and vocalists and all of that stuff. He once said of his music, "My concept is to rap with all of my favorite rappers," which is a great concept.
Yeah.
That's great. He has worked with some of the Wu-Tang members, Warren G, which makes me so happy. Mm-hmm. He worked with the Notorious B.I.G. and Jay-Z. And get this is wild. He was like a guest vocalist on a Michael Jackson song. What the hell? What? How do I not know any of that?
Do you know that, this might just be a fun fact for you, that the, like, greatest collaboration of 90s hip-hop, the, like, the album that you go to of this has everyone on it and it is mm-hmm. the best, is the Space Jam soundtrack.
Oh, and that is a great soundtrack.
It has everyone on it. It has Jay-Z rapping about Bugs Bunny. It brought the East and West Coast together at a time when they were not, like, acting together at all. It's an amazing, amazing soundtrack.
It's the healing power of basketball.
I do think Shaq's having a lot of fun here. And that I do appreciate, like, when you're listening to it, I guess it's because this is part of the problem I have knowing him too well, but is that he was, he is now big, goofy, lovable Shaq. He had some fire in him when he was really young. Mm. Like, another bit of great parenting stuff is that he, like, got in a fight with someone during a game and his parents made him call them up and apologize and, actually remark to another professional sports person, "My mama said I shouldn't have done this. I'm so sorry."
That's so good.
It's so good.
I have to say that I've really enjoyed the first half of the album more than I enjoy the back half of it, which makes me want to speed through the remaining tracks.
Let's skip ahead to "Are You a Roughneck?"
I forgot my verse. Speaking of kicking mad styles, I got him by the car. And I was always known as Shaq Fu ever since kindergarten. Cause I knick-knack, paddywhack him. Smack 'em, Shaq attack 'em, 2x2 will be platinum. So what you gonna do when that happen? First you see me dunking, now you see me rapping.
Alright, so
okay, I bet I know what bit tickled you the most. I hope it's the same bit as me.
Go on.
Get your pooper scooper, cause I'm super doofa.
Yeah.
That makes it sound like you're gonna shit yourself, dude. I'm so awesome that I'm gonna shit myself. Get your pooper scooper. I don't think that's a brag he thinks it is.
I'm going to shit my pants. That's how good I am. That is something that the baby on my knee also does quite a bit. Hello, baby. Part of what I wanted to ask when we get to this, because this has all the same problems that I have with everything else. It's just, it really feels like I'm in rhyme zone and he's just reading me every rhyme he knows for every word he knows. Do you know Shaq's nickname list?
I do not.
So Shaq's got a list of incredible nicknames. Like, there are ones that, like, this album's named after one of his, Diesel. He has "Most Dominant Ever" is a nickname. So the thing you need to know about these is he gives them all to himself. So the reason he says Superman in this is he decided that he was Superman and Great. Called himself Superman for a while.
Love that.
But my favorite Shaq nickname, which is one that I think should be wielded into this. So he was worried that everyone was thinking about him for his basketball skills. And he wanted to make sure everyone knew he was very intelligent as well, which he is. Mm. So he gave himself the nickname The Big Aristotle, which is maybe my favorite nickname anyone has ever had. The Big Aristotle.
Big Aristotle.
Yeah.
Wow. Also, that doesn't sound like a nickname I associate with anyone other than like an East End gangster. Oh, you got gamast big Aristotle. Like that's how I hear that nickname. Wow, that's a hell of a nickname. I love that he gave it to himself. Also, most dominant ever is like something that you'd be voted in a yearbook.
Yes, exactly. And that's coming from me, the big Socrates.
I'm sorry, I'm still not over. Doesn't matter how many nicknames you give yourself. If you advise people to bring a pooper scooper while hanging out with you, you're undoing all the good work that you're setting up later. All right. I reckon we skip to the final track, which was one of the big singles off the album, What's Up, Doc? Which is not on the Space Jam soundtrack, despite the title.
Forget Tony Danza, I'm the boss. When it comes to money, I'm like Dick the Boss. Now who's the first pick me, bro, this morning? Not a Christian Leitner, not a Lonzo Mourning. That's okay, not being braggadocious. Supercalifragilistic, Shaq is allidocious. Peace, I gotta go, I ain't no joke. Now I slam it, jam it, and make sure it's broke. What's up, Doc? Can we rock?
This is another track where I'm wondering, what age group is this aimed at? Like, this Bugs Bunny gear. In the same way, like, Hairs by My Chinny Chin Chin. So, like, this album does have the interesting Will Smith-like thing where there are no swear words in them. And there's a couple of times where you think he would go there or it'd be a useful rhyme where he clearly walks, like, he makes a point of not swearing on this album. But this is not, it's also not for kids. Like, you have, even the song that's like, not by the hairs of my chinny chin chin, what he's saying is, I'm not fucking you hoes. Like, it's not like this is family entertainment.
No. This one, it's so weird that it's not for kids because this one is just like chock full of pop culture references that kind of feel like it's aimed at kids, quite apart from the title, What's Up, Doc? There's like a penguin and a Joker reference.
Yep, very weird, yep.
Very weird. There's a Groucho Marx reference, which stood out to me. I love this. I also loved this line. I make a joke, hokey poke, slide by like an egg yolk. There's a Humpty Dumpty, there's a Pinocchio reference. He goes on a little three-line tangent about leprechauns. There's just a lot going on. Captain Crunch, like it, Speedy Gonzalez. Okay, I'm just going to stop reading the lyrics because I think he was just channel flicking at the time on a Saturday morning. As he wrote this. That's what I think the process was here artistically.
I do think, though, like we talk about the most marketable celebrity ever. I think what he has done here, and at the end of the album, looking back, what he's done a very good job of is you would expect an album like this to be much more of every track's along the Are You a Roughneck area, where it's about like, I'm big and strong and I could crush you in the palm of my hand very easily. Like, what he has done here is made himself the Shaq we know now, the Shaq that, like, you think to at like 7 foot, 150 kilo black man in America, particularly in the 90s, isn't something that, like, is going to, they're not going to end up being marketed as a friendly, lovable person that everyone enjoys and can be on every, like, cereal box and sell insurance and whatever. But he has worked to make himself very family friendly, like, very nice, yeah, and fun. Funny and fun and a joke about himself. And, like, he does hit the, I'm very good at basketball. And if we're playing basketball, I'm going to shit myself, I'm so good. But outside of basketball, you and I can watch cartoons.
Would you be the world's best basketballer if it meant that you shit yourself, you were that good?
So,
like,
Friday.
Constantly. Oh, no, are you going to confess that you do?
Yeah. No, that's where I was going. No. Do you know there is a this is the only episode where I get to talk basketball, so I'm going to tell you my favorite bit of basketball lore. There is a famous story, a famous, like, conspiracy kind of, like, that was recently confirmed, which was there's a like famous moment in a playoff match where one of the Boston Celtics goes down hard after a dunk and he ends up being taken off the court in a wheelchair.
Oh,
and
no.
Then he comes back running out of the tunnel about 10-15 minutes later to go back on the court and inspire his team to a huge win. It's like one of the great comeback stories.
Huge.
And everyone was wondering what happened there and how did this turn around. And then we found out a long-held rumor was true about a year ago, which is that he shit himself, and that is why he could not stand up and walk out of the court, because they play in white shorts when at home and everyone would have seen that.
Oh,
so he had to be carted out so he could go get changed and clean himself up and come back onto the court. And so I would say, if that's the situation, that every time you do a really nasty dunk, it is a nasty dunk, and they have to take you off back to the locker room and go back. I think I would still do it. I think I would take that Faustian bargain.
He got greeted as a hero when he came back 15 minutes later. It's a good ending to that story.
Yeah, but I think the fourth time you do it in the first quarter, people are going to be like, all right, what's going on here, man?
That is great, and I love that that's your favorite piece of basketball lore. So that's the album. Let's talk about how it was received. Not by James and I, which is from James, and from me. I reckon that's how we'd sum it up. The public were much more favorable. Shaq Diesel sold over 1 million copies, and I think he was the first athlete to ever reach platinum status as a recording artist, which is quite a cool little piece of
This went platinum in a time when, I guess, like, because everyone would know this album's coming out. He's Rookie of the Year. He's a legend from the moment he comes in. He's one of the most famous rookies to ever enter. But I'm just wondering, like, did people know it wasn't good? Did the word of mouth just take longer to get around? Was it good? Like, I'm shocked by this, Bridie.
Yeah,
tell me more.
I was surprised to see that it was platinum certified. It definitely had like more commercial success than critical success, I think it's fair to say. He got some, you know, to be fair, he got some really glowing reviews. I think it also speaks to his talent and also his persona that so many like hip hop luminaries wanted to work with him. Mm-hmm. But a lot of music critics, you know, kind of I was about to say slammed it. No pun intended. One critic, however, credited him as progressing as a rapper in small steps, just not leaps and bounds. I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I found another review which said, if this was meant to be a comedy hip-hop album and was intended to be, certainly does its job very well. So that's pretty damning. However, it didn't stop him. He went on to release 4 more albums, financed a record label, he's a DJ, he produces electronic music to this day.
Mm-hmm.
So he's definitely had a flourishing music career.
I think he could, like, I would listen to a Shaq album that came out next week.
Yeah.
Because, like, I just don't think this is the era for him. It's not, like, it's also, it just doesn't fit his voice now. His voice is much lower these days. And I think, like, it would just better suit his sensibilities to have a bit more air in the rap. I would say, and this is slightly off topic, but next to the lyric sheet, I just had an ad load for me, which was a full-page ad for a Liberal candidate not in my electorate, whose name is Jerry Knuckles. And so I have the smiling face of Jerry Knuckles looking at me, and I found it very distracting, Jerry Knuckles.
Jerry Knuckles. Oh. That's great. Maybe he's just a big fan of early 90s rap basketball crossover albums. Jerry, you got my vote. I in no way endorse Jerry Knuckles and know nothing about him.
He's a Liberal Party member, so I would argue if you've got it this deep into a podcast on hip-hop, he does not have your vote.
I think that's probably fair to say. I also think when you say it's not his era, his era, maybe controversially, kind of think it's very few people's era when they're 22 to release an album. Obviously, Taylor Swift is excepted from that. But I'm like, I would listen to an album if it came out next week from him. But I just, I don't know. It just doesn't feel like it was burning in him that he needed to release an album. It feels like, particularly if the story that I saw on the internet is true, it feels like it was handed to him rather than something that he'd been chasing that he really wanted, which is fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But I do think you can sense the difference. It doesn't mean that he's not a good rapper. He's got great flow and some great lyrics, but I think that, like, the feeling, the authenticity behind it is missing.
I think you're right, because this is the era where we're having fun. And like, when it's interesting to like, I think he's just having a good time. And we're not in a time, like, we talk about this quite a bit, of like the era of hip hop where for a lot of acts, you don't really know what to rap about yet. And there's a lot of songs that's like, I got a new t-shirt, it's my best shirt. Like, there's a lot of gear like that. I feel like this is like, we're not at the phase of, you know, NWA incredibly autobiographical raps, even though this is the early 90s. It's there. Like, you've got, like, this is the era of Tupac and Biggie. It's there. Mm. I just don't think that's what he's interested in. I think he is just having fun. And the novelty of this is Shaquille O'Neal, the Phenom, rapping is enough to carry it. It just doesn't make it, like, a great listening experience. As a novelty record, it's a great novelty record.
Yeah, agree. All right, well, that brings us to our remaining two questions, James Colley. Question one, what song do you want to add to the playlist?
Oh.
I am going to vote for I'm Outstanding, because it's just a bop.
I'm tempted to do Where You're At, because I feel like
no!
It's...
You do this every week. You pick the worst one.
I feel that is the most emblematic one.
Okay, Where You're At and I'm Outstanding. And our final question, I'll go first. Was this album a mistake? Nah. But it's also not whatever the opposite of a mistake is. You know, that's my opinion. Thank you so much. James, was this album a mistake? You're in pain. You look like you're in pain.
I don't think it was. I don't think it was. I don't think it's good, but I think Shaq's allowed to do everything. I don't think Kazam was a mistake. It's not good. Actually, no, I take that back. I absolutely believe it was a mistake. I tried to talk myself into a point that I don't really believe. I think it was a mistake, but I think this is not embarrassing. And so therefore it's not a mistake. It's not great, but it's not embarrassing.
So that is a resounding meh from both of us on this week's album, Shaq Diesel. James, here comes your favourite part of the podcast. Take us home.
Do you know a lot of podcasts do this up the top, which would make it your job and not mine? Anyway. Yeah. if you would like to rate and review the show, that's good. It's can I talk about basketball again?
Oh, my God. Follow us on all the socials, please. Thanks for listening. Chuck a listen on the podcast. I mean, go listen to the playlist is what I mean. It's there. You'll find it. Type in all the words of this podcast title and you'll find the playlist. Thank you so much from Bridie James and our cute guest co-host today, little baby Grace.
Grace, do you have anything to say to sign off? Couldn't have said it better myself. Bye.